Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Nada es fácil, baby.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kisho, kisho, kisho.
Happy 2020. Oh, wait, that was last time.
That was last time, yeah.
Wow, 2020.
Happy middle of January.
Yay.
How is it going?
I'm great. I'm finally out of this, like, depression grave that I dug myself.
What happened?
I think I'm out of it. I mean, I can see the light.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I feel. I don't know. It's this thing that happens around the holidays. It's a weird time of the year.
Te da el bajón?
Yeah, and especially because I was doing so many big projects, and then I came home, I'm like, I'm going to rest, and then I couldn't move.
And that never happens.
Yeah, so my body was in shock, and then I'm just, you know, I'm super busy, but I'm trying to balance everything and, you know, trying to have a healthy 2020, but it's just going to take a lot of dealing with the bullshit that I've kind of built up over last year, you know?
Right.
I have like a half a year to kind of straighten things out.
That's the thing about resolutions, man. Like, there's this idea that everything's going to get better in January, and then we put so much pressure on ourselves. Like, this shit takes time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I feel like, okay, so I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to Hidden Brain a lot. It's an NPR podcast about how your brain works and how to develop a habit, so it's part of your schedule, you have to do something for months at a time.
Right.
And so for me, since I'm an artist, if I'm not doing an art installation, my schedule isn't like fijo, you know? Like, right. My schedule at home is like, I make my own schedule, and that just, for me, is not productive.
It's good and it's bad at the same time.
Right. So I decided, I need to have a structured day every day. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up at 7 in the morning. I'm going to go for a walk, then go for a coffee, then do computer work for 4 hours, and then do studio. You know, I had like my whole thing.
Yeah.
That went out the door the first. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to stay in bed, whatever. And so now I'm thinking of my intentions and my resolutions different. Like, what can I do slowly to build up to that? And thinking realistically.
Right.
Like, this shit is going to take, in my head, I'm like, you know what? This is going to take 3 years. Because literally, I've been doing the same thing my whole life.
For your whole life.
So how the hell are you going to reprogram your body? And then we're just setting ourselves up for failure, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's something, like, I remember, as you say, it takes months, for example, if you want to get into a routine of exercise or whatever. But we put so much pressure on ourselves that we don't perform like we want to within a month. And then we just let ourselves down.
Yeah.
I feel like starting a new routine, starting a new activity is kind of like coming off of drugs. Like, you have to take it slow, because if you go full, like, cold turkey, you're going to fail. Like, it's not going to work. Your body's going to be like, what the fuck? So you have to do it slowly, slowly. And you do it. Like, I've been wanting to get back to exercise for 2 years. It took me like 7 months to finally be like, oh, I'm excited to exercise, because, like, for a long time, it's just not a thing. But it takes time.
Yeah. And I want all these things I want to have a schedule, like, when I'm a routine, I should say, like, when I'm not doing a specific project.
Yeah.
And so I started slowly. And I want to give a shout out to some of my friends that really helped me with my mental health, especially Eva from De Colores Radio. She's always checking in on me, and I'm checking in on her. And actually, Lola from Lola's Cocina, she's always sending me shit.
Oh, Lola.
And she's like, we are, she's just really helped me out a lot this year. So one of the things that we talked about was changing our routine very, like, just a little thing. So the first thing I did, and it's working, it's been 3 days of it, is taking a shower at night instead of in the morning.
Oh, that's my life.
But my whole fucking life, I've been taught by both sides of my family, the Guats and the Mexas, that you take a shower first thing in the morning, because why would you shower at night? Because you're going to get dirty, you're going to get sweaty at night, and then you're going to wake up todo sudado.
Y te vas a enfermar.
Yes. Yeah. And you're like, you don't want to go to sleep with wet hair, all this bullshit. And then the other day I was like washing my face at night, and I hate washing my face at night.
Yeah.
I know I should do it, and I mostly don't, because I'm just so fucking tired. I'm like, well, why don't I just take, because I leave, you know, when people wash dishes and they don't get wet or they don't leave un charco de agua, you know, like, I don't understand how people can do that. Are you really washing dishes if there's not a puddle around you? Right, no,
right,
you're not.
Right.
So that's how I am when I wash my face. The whole fucking bathroom is flooded. I don't know how people do it in the movies, like when they're just like scooping it out and like dabbing
like
their face.
Crawford.
It's all over my fucking body. Right. Like, so I said, well, why don't I just wash my face in the shower? Well, why don't I just take a shower?
Right.
You know, at night. So I've been doing that. And then I do a quick, like a quick rinse in the morning because my hair is like Harry Potter hair in the morning.
But
like,
it's always on point. So.
Because I have to shower. I have to wet it or else it's uncontrollable.
I gave up on my hair, dude. I put hats.
I know. I saw that you gave up. You're wearing a full-on I gave up uniform right now. Yeah. Can you describe what you're wearing?
You just, no, I'm wearing nice.
Describe it.
I'm wearing nice black jeans.
Mm-hmm.
A mí me enseñaron que, si, que para salir de la calle nunca te pongas huaraches. So I never fucking wear huaraches. So I'm always having it.
Those times
close.
You wear are pretty close.
They're pretty, but I don't wear them as much anymore.
Okay,
siempre
well,
traigo
let
mis
me
botas.
Tell you, as a friend, those are huaraches, so don't wear those. I'm serious. You might as well be wearing Nike slides.
No, wait, no mames. Y luego, I have a sweatshirt, a gray sweatshirt, and my
beanie.
And my beanie, yeah. Like, I my hair is falling, man. So it's like, fuck it. Like,
everybody's hair is falling out.
I just gave up, especially when it's so fucking cold. Like, I really give up. But I mean, I try to look cute for school. Like, I try not to wear my hat for school.
Students, huh? Good,
no,
good.
Estúpida. Me van a correr por tu culpa.
You're fired.
But no, because like,
you're trying to be professional.
Right.
Look,
like, it
look the part or just feel like you're. I mean, that's the reason I wear this stupid uniform all the time because I'm like,
it's my way to perform the authority.
Exactly.
I have to. You know what I mean? Because it's hard for me to gain the respect of my students still. So like, I feel like with my quote unquote uniform, like looking presentable. You know, that's how I do it. Pero I don't know, man. I'm running out of fucks. I used to always like put an outfit before leaving the house. Ay, ya me vale verga, though. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that happens also when you get married. So good job for that. I'm starting, because, you know, we talked about this on the podcast before, like, what do you do for self-care?
Mm-hmm.
And before, what I did was, like, I would dedicate at least an hour in the morning to, like, taking a shower.
Yeah, do your thing.
Doing all my things. And then it just, it's not efficient because I got used to that. Because that I made that a routine.
Yeah.
And so now, like, if I need to be somewhere.
Like at 8, you have to wake up.
I have to wake up at 6 in the morning because I move at that speed. So now I'm moving into the end of the day so that it's like a true, like, wind down. You know what I mean?
Plus, when you shower at night, you just relax and you just sleep better.
And then, yes, it's supposed to do that. It does. It does relax. Mm-hmm. You feel clean. It's nice. It also reminds you to wash your sheets because you don't realize how fucking dirty your sheets are until you shower at night and then you feel and you're like in filth.
Right.
Wash your fucking sheets,
your
people.
Your face.
No, wash your sheets. It's disgusting. Like, people wonder why they have like skin problems just because you're sleeping in your own sweat. You know what I mean? So,
just bellowing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So anyway, it's something very simple.
Yeah.
And because I've been listening to a lot of like, oh God, this is like kind of embarrassing, but I don't care.
Do it.
I've been watching a lot of like beauty YouTube
and
like beauty and self-care YouTube and listening to podcasts. Shout out to Jackie J, Natch Butte. I'm one of her honeys. Like, I love her so much. But she's the whitest lady, by the way. Shout out to all the white ladies. So, it's all capitalism, you know? She talks about products the whole time, but she's aware of it, you know? But I'm like, what can I do that doesn't cost money that will help me in the long run?
Right.
You know what I mean? So just changing that, I hope, will lead to me like showering and maybe like reading a book or journaling, then showering, reading a book, and just going to bed, you know? So, and actually the one thing that I did is like, I'm not smoking pot. What am I, 70 years old? I'm not smoking anymore, like, to go to bed. Because that was like my medicine to knock
me
out.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There is. So my friend, my cousin who's a doctor, said I had to be careful because, and this is true, when you like smoke out to go to bed, like your body doesn't go into REM sleep. You just knock out.
Es como that sleeping pill.
Yes. Oh. So your brain is still tired. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't remember anything anymore because I'm fucking, my brain is exhausted.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons that I'm just, I'm going to cut it out because it was medicinal for me for a long time. It really helped with my, it might actually be, I might have to switch it up and maybe do it like, take a siesta in the middle of the day and, you know, take mm-hmm. a little, you know, take yeah. a rest there and do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, I don't want to say it's bad, but the way that I was consuming it,
it was bad. Also, you were smoking too. You're just knocked out.
I was like, oh, I'm just going to take another little. Like, I could still see. Like, I still feel like I'm in my own body. Let me take another hit. Like, what the hell? You know, like, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
But, or it is, depending. I mean, if it's the weekend, whatever, you know. But I have, you know, when you have a lot of shit to do.
Oh, by the way, shout out to the state of Illinois. Now it's legal. So.
Hey!
Because it's a thing. But,
yeah, so I mean, I just want to say that because I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and it's all very, like, woo-woo, like, very high intentions. But we can start like with something very simple like that.
And that's just human nature. That's why the gyms are fucking saturated on January. That's why the beginning of the semester in any college, you cannot find parking anywhere because it's like, I'm going to go full on and I'm going to take 20 classes. Like, if you want to go back to school, if you want to take one class, that's good because you haven't been in school for a long time or whatever, you know? Like, I think understanding that, y cuando menos lo piensen, you're full on. You're doing exactly what you said you were going to do in the beginning of the year, even if it's fucking October, you know? And that's okay. Like, we're fucking humans.
Yeah.
¿Y qué comiste hoy?
Oh, my goodness. Today, oh, my gosh. Girl, I'm really embarrassed by this. I met up with a friend at a hipster coffee shop here in town. Shout out to Public Us.
Public Us.
And I went up to the counter and was like, hey, do you have any new things on the menu? Anything vegetarian that I don't know about? Because I didn't feel like eating meat this morning. And and as a member of the vegan community, a very strong member of the vegan community, they're like, oh yeah, we have this new cauliflower thing. And what the? I mean, I know this is, people have been talking shit about cauliflower all 2019. Mm-mm. But it's like, cauliflower, that's the true glow up.
It's amazing.
Like cauliflower rice. I had a dish that was like cauliflower steak grilled.
Uh-huh.
It was so bomb, actually. Like,
fuck.
It tasted like the grilled cauliflower tasted so good. Like on a bed of rice that was like really delicious and had like garbanzo. You know how they do there. It's all like gourmet shit. Like they disguise themselves as like your neighborhood coffee shop, but really it's like a bougie brunch place.
Right, you know what I mean?
So I like to have meetings there with people and because it's a nice environment. But that's what I had. And I just had a café con leche and some water.
The best recipe that highlights everything that cauliflower can be.
What?
It's this cauliflower cream without cream. So the secret is that you boil half of a cauliflower for 15 minutes and then you add the other half and you boil for 30 minutes. The longer the first part boils, it tastes nuttier than the first part.
Yeah.
So the flavors mix together and you just put water and a little bit of onion and blend it. And it's fucking amazing because that's true for a lot of vegetables, but according to how long you cook them, they gain different flavors. So the idea is to combine them and you get this hearty plate that you swear has cheese and cream and this and that. And it's just agua way. It's
oh my God.
I didn't know that everybody was throwing shade to fucking cauliflower.
It's just like the thing. Like you go to a restaurant now and the vegan or veggie thing is like fucking like a half of cauliflower, yeah, just like grilled. And it's kind of funny. Like I went to a Oaxacan restaurant in Oregon,
mm-hmm,
and they just put a fucking
cauliflower con mole. No way.
Yes.
Guacala de perro. I was just kidding.
I know. I was like, girl.
No.
You know how, and this is the thing, and I had just come back from Oaxaca. And I was like, you know that Oaxacans eat a lot of vegetarian stuff that's bomb.
Right.
That's just like not cauliflower on mole. You know, like there's so much Mexican food that's vegetarian.
That sounds gross.
Atlayuda without cheese is vegan. Can be vegan.
A vegan, yeah.
It's so good.
Right.
Right? So anyway, that's what I ate. What did you eat today?
I ate, I'm not even going to say where this place is because sometimes I go and it's bomb and sometimes I go and it's not good.
What?
What?
It's true. Well, there's another restaurant in town, but I'm not going to mention it because...
Same thing.
Yeah, and they're related to us, so. But it's like when your restaurants don't, I feel like it reflects very poorly if there's multiple restaurants and one of them is bad and the rest are good.
And the rest are good.
Or like if, or if it's inconsistent, like you go one day and the flautas are bomb and then the next day you go and they're fucking.
Todas grasosas. Y...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's that display. So they sell burritos like in my hometown. So my favorite burrito is El Burro de Weenie. We've discussed this in past episodes. But
for all the new listeners, can you explain what a burro de weenie is?
A burrito de weenie is, it's like a piece of heaven. It's la tortilla con frijoles refritos. But they do this too with hot dogs cut in little cachitos. And then they put whole beans and chorizo. So they make this stew out of chorizo, beans, and weenies. And they put it in this like, in la tortilla de harina. Bitch. It's so good. Anyway, they didn't have burritos de weenie because...
That's so easy. Why not?
I have
go
no
get
idea.
Some ballparks.
But I had...
You're plump when you cook them.
But I had un burrito de colitas de pavo, güey.
Uh-huh.
And colitas de pavo is a very Juarez thing. And I've had tacos of colitas de pavo in this place, and they were
turkey
crispy.
Tails?
Yeah.
I've never had that.
No, you did. You had a taco that time we went together. And it was fucking bomb.
Did
I? We both were like, oh my God, this is so good. So I wanted to have that.
Is the bone on it?
Wait, ni siquiera me acabé el pinche burro. No. Pero tiene mucha grasa.
It's just the meat.
Y la grasa can get like chicharrón. It almost tastes like pork. That's how good it is.
The butt or the tail?
The tail. Colita, yeah.
Why didn't you get the carnitas, fool?
Because it's Juarez, so I thought...
That's Juarez.
Colitas de pavo? No, carnitas are Michoacán. Colitas de pavo...
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Juanga. He loves carnitas.
En barbacoas.
Yeah.
Barbacoa, like estilo Ciudad Juárez.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was dripping in grease. And that's not a barbacoa.
Oh, I'm about to go.
It wasn't good. It was gross. And I was really disappointed because I spent $20 in pinches burritos. But whatever. I'm going to have my mama's food in a little bit.
See, I think if you want, for me, the best food like that is not at a restaurant. Like, you got to go to just a truck, you know?
Right, but it's just like, it's la nostalgia. It's like, I want a burrito estilo Juárez. Because here in the States, a burrito es con todo, ¿verdad? Le ponen hasta el puto molcajete. It's like rice, salsa, beans.
Como dijo mi tía, she's like, señor, when she went to Chipotle, she's like, creo que se le cayó el guisado en el burrito. Like, she thought it was a whole meal that fell in the burrito. She's like, I just wanted a chicken burrito. What the fuck is all this shit
like,
in it?
Yeah.
She just wanted chicken and beans, and that's
different
it.
Types of rices? What the fuck is that? I mean, it's delicious is what it is, but what is that? So I wanted that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty close to this. Tell everybody where we're recording, because this is amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Shout out to the East Las Vegas Library. I can't believe it took me this long to do this. Because we are recording out of their soundproof studio right now. And an extra special shout out to the director here, Salvador. He hooks us up.
Amazing.
We are on some professional mics right now.
No okay. me la creo, güey.
Okay. And they are actually hooked up. And not just for the pictures. And he even has a screen in here that says Latinos Who Lunch with our logo on it. So profesh. So profesh.
VIP.
Again, thank you to the East Las Vegas Library and to Salvador. This is so cool. And it just makes me feel good that there's a community here that, like,
that
he didn't have to do this.
Right.
He could have just gave us the room and been like, figure it out.
I call him within 5 minutes, return the call. We're going to do this, and that. Treat us like royalty. East Las Vegas Library, Salvador, thank you so
please,
much. Always coming through.
If you are in the Las Vegas area and you need to film a YouTube show, work on some graphic design, learn how to use DJ equipment, record a podcast, record a song, all of this technology, all these facilities are available to anybody that has
to
a library card.
The entire community, yes.
So please come down here, and I know this is silly, but if... You know, people review shit online on Google, on Yelp, review it. This place needs to be praised for the good that they're doing.
Right. Yeah. And there's nothing like that around in East Las Vegas. So this is amazing. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Anyway, so before we go into a quick break, let's just talk a little bit about what this episode is about, because I'm so fucking excited.
Okay, you tell us.
So January being the month of music, we started with our top Latinx songs of the year and our top album. Shout out to El Lado Negro again. And now we're going to talk about our top albums of the decade. And it doesn't have to be Latinx. It can be whatever you love, whatever was you listen to the most, whatever really was reminds you of a period in the past 10 years.
So So
that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about our top albums of 2010. And then, yes, and then some recommendations.
Of the 2010s.
Yes, a los 2010s. If that's how you say it.
Turn of the century. It's turn of the century when you're talking about art history, it's like 1900 to 1920?
Correct. No, wait, turn of the century?
Right?
No, turn of the century is like 1899 to 1900. That's turn of the century.
Oh, it's not. What do you call the, you just call it 1900s?
Yeah, the 1900s.
I thought it was like you got like a 5-year window.
No.
It's not
no.
like 18 to 1900s?
Uh-uh, it's the 1900s. A century.
Turn of the century, though.
Por eso.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be more than 1 year? Then why wouldn't you just say 1899?
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I've never
like
thought about it.
Turn of the century is late. Instead of saying late 1800s, early 1900s, you
so
say
like,
turn of the century.
Como de 1895 al 1905.
My understanding was like, I thought it was like a 20-year window. Just to say like early
20th century. I don't know. But anyway, this is the decade.
The decade, the tens.
But let's
the double D's.
Like, how are people going to refer to it? Like, the 2000s? Like,
that's
the
what
O's?
I'm telling you. The early aughts.
The aughts?
The early aughts is year 2000. Probably turn of the millennia. Oh, probably. That's
yeah,
what I'm going to do.
That's too much. Anyway, we'll be back and we'll highlight our top albums of the decade.
Hi, we're here. We're queer. And we're here to talk about how you can support Latinos Who Lunch.
Here we are after 3 years still doing our thing, but we cannot do it without you. So we're asking a little bit for your support.
Yes, and we love our listeners, and we loved having sponsors. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, it just got a little sticky when it came to certain sponsors and our values. And we don't even have that many.
Absolutely.
But this is a way to kind of directly, I think, connect to our listeners
right.
is by using Patreon and PayPal to help us out. So if you like listening to Latinos Who Lunch, and again, we have 3 years of archived footage.
Amazing content.
Of amazing content. Amazing content. Oh, my God. Sometimes I feel like I'm turning into my content.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
We should talk about this.
You know who was talking about? Okay, nope. We got to focus. Okay. So how can people help us on Patreon, Babalex?
So there's 3 different levels. The first level is the shout-out level. And you can join our shout-out level with just $1 a month.
Yep, and we'll give you a shout-out on a future episode. And if you want to be our comadre, It's only $3 now.
Yes.
Join the club.
Yes, we made it more accessible. So for $3, you can be our comadre and you have access to an exclusive episode and also you get a shout out from us.
And if you want to really support us and be our madrina, sponsor our quinceañera, you can be a madrina for $10.
Right. And for $10, you get everything that we mentioned. And on top of that, we will send you some LWL stickers.
So Patreon is a way to support us monthly. So the pledges you make will be like kind of reoccurring. Mm-hmm. But if you're not into that, because, you know, some of us don't trust the internet. I remember my aunt who was like, I don't trust the banks. And she just had like money in her freezer.
Mi
like,
mamá también. Pero con la internet, she won't pay anything online. She still makes checks.
But they still write checks like that's
right.
legit. Like, okay. Anyway, if you want to make a one-time donation, you can go on to paypal.com. And all this information is on latinoswholunch.com/donate. You can go to patreon.com/latinoswholunch and find all this information. So become a Patreon patron or support us on PayPal. So many of you have done already and my heart is full. Thank you so much. Also, if you want to change your pledge, Please do so because we had higher prices before.
Yeah.
So go back in and you can lower it or keep it the same. I'm just...
agreguenle más lo que se les antoje.
I know. I just wanted to lower it because it's like I support a lot of podcasts and On Patreon, and like the $1, $2, $3 level is like what I can do, so I can support more of my podcast friends and just people that I admire in the podcast world. So and you know what? I'm going to give a couple shout outs. This is a really long commercial, but
go for it.
If you want to support some podcasts that I support, go check out Ziwan Chung's podcast, Seeing Color. He interviews all people of color in the art world. Of course, Tea with Queen and Jay. Give them some fucking money. Okay, support them for only $2 a month. They're amazing. And you can also support CYC Podcast on Patreon. They're the ones that inspired us to do Patreon. So thank you to CYC. Oh my God, I just saw that a new episode dropped for like... I'm so excited to listen to it. And they also put up bonus episodes. So go to CYC Podcasts and check out their Patreon. So many podcasts are on there doing really cool content.
That's right. So again, thank you everybody that has been supporting us. We saw the love right away. And again, three levels. Shout out, comadre, madrina, lo que se les antoje. Ahí cáiganle.
And we're going to do the shout outs at the end of the episode if you're a new donor. Thank you. And we're back.
Let's do this. I wanted to talk first about the big moments of music of the decade, but I feel like we're just going to get into it as we talk about our top five albums. And we're going to go from bottom to top. And you can start. You can say, so what is your... And this took me a while, man. Like, I've been thinking about this because I had no idea it was the end of the decade till like October when everybody started putting a list. I'm like, oh, that's right. Like, a fucking decade just ended. So I've been thinking about it since. But anyway, go for it. What is your top five? Número cinco.
Top five albums of the decade?
Yes.
First of all, before I go into that, I just want to tell people I did pick some awesome music, okay? But as you know, if you listen to the show, I'm not a music person per se. Like, compared to you and Pat from the Colores Radio and Richardina and Bev, you know, like, y'all are, like, music people.
You always say that, but I consider you a music person because with you,
It's because I have really good taste.
No, like, porque cuando te conocí, like, I really started to reevaluate a lot of 90s music that I never actually paid attention to.
Well, that was because you're racist. But that's because I helped you not be as racist.
But are you also,
honestly, what do you think?
No, I was into a lot of sad white people music.
Thank you.
Yeah. But at the same time, you have a passion for music that not everybody does. So you have to give yourself credit.
I love the structure of music and what it can do. Mm-hmm. And like, I love playing music because I used to be a musician. That's my jam. So like, when something is composed, like Balloon. You know, like, let's get into it. Like, when the people doing the music are composers and you can see that and you can feel that and the songs kind of tell a story, there's a narrative. I love that shit because that's what classical composers did, you know? So it reminds me of all the suites I used to play when I was, like, in a concert band setting, you know, or an orchestra. So honestly, this... This decade, I always think, whenever I say honestly, I think of Joanne the Scammer. Honestly? Truly. shout out to her. She was fucking a gem of the decade. Joanne the Scammer.
He was everywhere.
Have you Googled her as a boy?
No.
She's pretty hot as a boy.
No, I haven't.
If you Google her on Pornhub.com.
That's another
story.
She
got a lot of videos on there. Joanne, she's been scamming for years. Oh my God, speaking of scammers, I listened to this new podcast called Scam Goddess. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Lacey Mosley. It's amazing. It's a podcast all about scams.
Oh my God.
It's so good. Anyway, this is what I want to talk about. Uh-huh. Podcasting really took off in like 2010 for the people that were like in the know. That was 10 years ago.
Wow.
So that's when I was in 2010, that began my addiction to podcasts. And so ever since 2010, this is why this was so hard for me. I didn't really listen to albums like I used to. You know what I mean?
Because
I'm like, oh, I have 2 hours. Oh, I'm just going to listen to two podcasts instead of listening to albums.
Right.
You know what I mean? So anyways, so when I was thinking about my favorite albums, mm-hmm. I was thinking what was on fucking repeat and what kind of albums to me were iconic and kind of shifted the way that I think.
About music. Okay.
So that's the mentality. And what made me happy?
Right.
You know? Okay. Do you want me just to say them all?
No.
Okay.
Tú dices el cinco y yo digo el cinco.
Okay. So my first pick, I'm so excited to talk about this artist, is Wack World by Tierra Whack that came out in 2018.
That album came out of nowhere. It also caught me off surprise. I was like, this is bullshit. Instagram has ruined music. And then I listened to it and listened to it and listened to it and listened to it.
Yes.
Iconic.
Okay, so if you don't know what Tierra Whack, Whack World is, it's an album that came out as a visual album.
On Instagram.
On Instagram.
Right.
So, and if you are on Instagram, especially back then, I think it was before Instagram TV, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
The video post could only be 1 minute long.
Correct.
So every song on this album is only 1 minute long.
Which in the beginning is infuriating because you're just getting in it and boom, te la cambia, güey. Pero there's a value to it. It's so good.
Yeah. And if you want to see this, this is a very beautiful, I think beautiful, visual album. And so if you go on YouTube, you can actually, it's only like 15 minutes and you can watch the entire, you can watch the entire album, and it's so fun.
It's so good.
And weird. And to me, it was like, if I was in art school and I had the budget for amazing producers,
that would be a project.
I feel like a lot of artists try to do what she does, but don't do it at the level that she does it.
Because there's a science to simplicity. And not,
yes.
And we are in an era where, like, maximalist music really contaminated music. Also in the tense, like really, that's how it's called, like maximalist punches, punches, like. So for an album to come in and just really bring it down to the basics, oh my God, it's a beautiful album.
And it's also, I love it because it's, some of the songs are not even, I'm gonna say it, they're not even complete songs.
No, they're not.
They're just like sketches or ideas of a song.
Uh-huh.
And she's like kind of saying nonsense.
Right.
In a few, the one where she's in a, she's like sitting in a Chinese takeout restaurant and she's just saying random words is like, I think that's my favorite one because it's like, there's no, it's just the beat. She's just like saying things over a beat, which is, she's kind of making fun of a lot of different people in the industry by doing that.
Uh-huh.
But it's good. You
it's
know?
Really good.
I'm trying really hard to avoid like saying like, because it slaps. Because it sounds so like a mom is saying it when I say it.
But, I never even heard that word.
Oh my God. Bitch, really? You need to like watch TV. Like,
I'm writing right now. So I'm going to be out of the loop for the next couple years.
You can take 10 minutes a day.
I would.
And just like turn something on. turn on a computer, turn something on.
Slaps. Santa Maria.
You have a podcast. It's your job to know what's happening. So, yeah, shout out to Tierra Whack and Whack World. And if you haven't seen this or if you haven't listened to it, it's so good. Pet Cemetery. I miss my dog. I love that one.
My favorite still, like, I said thank you. I designed it.
Yes.
Oh, that jam was so good.
I'm just so happy that people like her exist.
Right. I wonder how she's life. Like, did you just go see
amazing,
her?
I bet.
No, I bet she's amazing, but like, does she keep going this? Like, does she build up the songs? I thought about it the other day. I'm like, I'm going to look for YouTube videos of her live. Because I wondered if she does something more with the songs or it's just like, boom, una, la otra, la otra, la otra.
Can we do a shout outs of albums that
didn't make it to the list?
Didn't make it on
the
list?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I hate doing this, but I just can't get her out of my mind. Another person that reminds me of Tierra Whack, but is totally different.
Right.
But I have the same love towards them is Lekele 47. I think that's her
name, right?
She, the album Wash and Set, I believe it's called, that came out last year or 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, you were into that.
That was such a fun album.
Yeah.
And I know that she is a badass performer. I've seen her perform live.
Didn't she open for... We saw her. Ya se me olvidó.
I saw her at some club that I was invited to this fucking party. She opened for Santicle.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Did you go to that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, girl, I was so gone. I don't remember. And
I remember you...
I was on stage with Santicle.
You went up there and we all follow you. And everybody was dancing crazy and you were just making a stink face in front of everybody. And somebody has video of you next to Santicle with like stink face.
I love her.
So good.
That was fun. I imagine... You know, Santicle is hella artsy too.
Yeah.
I imagine that's kind of how Tierra Whack, you know, because
shows art,
because she has like beautiful art in the background and then dancers and like And they're not even dancing. They're like making movements. Right, you know? Right. They're not, it's cool.
So good.
Okay, that was my number five. How about you?
My number five went between two sisters.
Okay.
But I had to go to this one because to me it signified a moment not only in the podcast but also like 2016. This album came out in 2016. I think that was like my height of my music fucking era. We listened to so much music. But out of everything that I listened to in that year, I think this is one of my top albums of all time. This is A Seat at the Table by Solange. Mm-hmm. And I love the new album. I love the new album. But when I think of Solange, I think of gluing paper in the Denver Art Museum. Mm-hmm. I think of like all the road trips with Michaela. And that we were always playing that fucking album.
It was on repeat.
Yes, all the time. We went to go see Beyonce and we were listening to Solange. Like,
shade, shade.
It's so good.
It was good.
And it was...
Or it is good.
It is good. And like... The new album, it's a little, maybe too experimental for somebody, and I absolutely love it, but there's a special place, and I remember thinking, oh, no, because this came out at the same year as Lemonade, and I remember thinking, oh, no, Lemonade is the album, Solange is not that good, but here we are in 2020, and I'm still listening to that album by Solange, so it had to be on my top five, and I know you love that album, too.
I mean, that album is art to me.
Yeah.
And more so the new one. ¿Cómo se llama the new one?
Ni me acuerdo.
Oh, my God, I forgot. We're not really fans.
We're not.
Fake-ass bitches. but when A Seat at the Table came out, again, Solange showed up and she showed out. And... I mean, it was the album that set her apart from her sister.
Right.
She'd always been living in the shadow of someone else's dreams. So it was really great that she already had a name for herself.
The new album is When I Get Home.
When I Get Home.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, my God. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Cranes in the Sky. It's going to be probably my ultimate favorite. And then Junie. Those are my tracks on that album.
Yeah, that whole album from beginning to end. And that's the thing, like, we are in an era that because of social media, because of Spotify, because of all this availability to music, we listen to a song per album. And I refuse to do a lot of the playlist mentality. Like, when I want to hear an album, I want to hear from beginning to end. And sometimes you can. Sometimes albums suck and they only have three good songs. But this album by Solange, desde el principio hasta el fin, es una pinche chingonada, güey. Love it.
Yes. And a lot of people discredit these women that we're talking about, mm-hmm, because everybody's like, oh, like
los
like,
productores,
like our shit. Shout out to Mariah Carey again. I always give her shout outs. You know what? Because they write their own fucking music, yeah. And if they don't, they're in the studio with the producers and they're working it. Nobody fucking gives dudes that, like, oh, they don't even write their own music. Well, guess what, Mimi Solange does, and yeah. Like, I'm sure not all of it, but she had her hand in every. You can tell, duh. And everything.
And she's a music fan. Before she came out with this album, I remember seeing videos of her and her husband putting shows in South by Southwest by like a funk music from the 70s, for example, like funk legends that nobody listens to, and they will put them together in showcases of music. They fucking love music. She loves music. So you can tell and you can feel it. Because at the end of the day, they're making their own decisions and they can say, no, esta canción vale madre, or yes. But they're in every single aspect of the process and you can see it.
If you have any doubt in your mind about Solange and if she's an artist, listen to the podcast Song Exploder.
Yeah,
it's a really cool concept. Ooh. The podcast, they take one song from an artist, they invite the artist on, and they break down the song to like every single little element of
every
the song.
Sound. Yes,
and Solange goes into each and every little sound, and some of it was literally her playing the piano, like just trying to figure it out, and they just kept it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So. And just to listen to her behind the inspiration of Cranes in the Sky, it's magical. It's so great.
She talks about being in her in her high rise
in Miami.
Apartment in Miami, and those are the cranes. And of all the construction in Miami. I remember that episode.
What an artist.
Good.
What an
so
artist.
So good. Anyway, so shout out to Solange. What's your next one?
You can call me, but you can't use my phone. I remember I brought this on our very first, I think, Radio Loncha episode. Erykah Badu's But You Can't Use My Phone. I fucking love
that
album.
It's so, and that's considered.
It's not even an album. It's a mixtape.
It's a mixtape, yeah. But it's so good. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's so fucking good. That's another album that we listened to a lot.
And I loved it. And as soon as it came out, I was just in love with the concept. If you listen to it, every song is about
cell phones
and like our relationship with cell phones. And so what a funny thing. And then she's like covering songs. So she's like covered like Hotline Bling.
That song.
But her version.
It's so much better.
Oh my God. And then she had Drake on it.
Right.
You know, just to show like. I don't know. I thought that was badass.
But see, that shows you when somebody understands music. When you hear something that it sounds like whatever, or some people may not consider it good, and she understands the structure of the song, and she just adds un poquito por aquí y un poquito por allá, and it makes it so much better. That's a fucking artist.
And yes. And she does covers, you know, Mr. Telephone Man. Right. Oh, so good. Yeah. And the one that she does about Dial a Freak, I think it's called, where the intro to it is about how we're killing the bees because of the señales of the cell phones, yeah. You know, and it's like this really weird, like funky, like it's so good. It's so good. Well, it's not funky. It's more like 80s, 90s. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
I don't know. But this song from beginning to it doesn't stop. The album doesn't seem to stop. It almost feels like a mixtape. It's so, so good.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And she's queen.
If you haven't heard it. I mean, yes. I will say, though, you know, you got to stay alert. She has said some stupid shit in the last few years. But, you know, it's okay. It's fine.
My friend calls her Erykah Badu.
Erykah Badon't. People call her. I know.
Yeah.
But she has a special place in my heart because of just the way that she is and that she like moves around the world. Like just the way that she looks unapologetically.
Yeah.
Like all the time. Like is amazing. Like it's very empowering to me.
And life. That bitch floats through the crowd.
And you know that I don't like to go to shows, but I had to go see her live.
I remember her show. Before she came out, you just hear the drum. And then all the fucking weed smoke just like started floating all over the crowd. And then she came out. It was so good.
Yes. And then she did like, she was wearing this huge fucking hat. And then her dreads were coming out. And after every song, she would do this like pose.
Right.
Like this like football pose and everybody would clap and then she would do the next song. She's so good.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, speaking of the last 10 years, she was also one of the people that did the For the D challenge. Remember that? The only line, you don't remember the For the D challenge?
Mm-mm.
Like it was like, what would you do for the dick? Kind of like, I do this for the dick. And it was like, you don't remember that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to Google it. It's funny. She did one.
Uh-huh.
And one of the lines was like, fuck woke, I'm dead for the dick. Like she's in a casket.
Nice.
I love her.
Nice. I gotta Google
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's so good.
And that came out in 2015.
Yes. Is that what I said?
No.
I said 16?
I don't think you said the year.
Oh, yeah. 2015. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Erika. And maybe this is a good time to shout out like our problematic secret faves that we didn't put on this list. Do you have any?
We should do a whole episode on problematic faves.
I'll wait to talk about Azalea Banks.
Maybe we should do that in the next episode.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I thought we were doing Café Tacuba.
I know, but now like I'm thinking, I don't know.
Girl.
We'll decide. We'll figure it out. People are Tierra Whack.
People are going to be Tierra Whack. No, Tierra Whack is not Whack.
But we should do an episode of
Okay, put a pin in that.
Okay.
Somebody remind us later.
Okay.
Thanks, Maite. Okay.
My number four, it's what I consider...
We're only on four?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay, we gotta hurry.
My top Latinx album of all time. I think this album changed everything. I'm wrong probably, but it was so good. Mm-hmm. This is Rita Indiana y El Juidero from 2010.
Oh, bitch.
This bitch hit me with a fucking balde de agua fría out of nowhere.
Con un sartén.
Boom,
with
cabrón.
A pot and a pan. She just fucked you up.
Con la pinche chancla envuelta en cemento, güey. Like, that shit hit me out of nowhere. And that started my love for Latinx and Latin American music again because yeah. I'm a 90s kid and I listened to all 90s rock en español. And then after rock en español died, I died with it. And I didn't listen to shit en español no more. And then I saw a video of Rita Indiana and I was like, what the fuck is this? I want everything by her. She was a visual artist. And as part of her performances, she included music. And their friends are like, your art kind of sucks, but your music is amazing. You should do something with it. Mm. So she put together an album and it is the best fucking album. And shout out to Club Fonograma. Club Fonograma was my graduate years. Club Fonograma was a blog that is based on Phoenix, Arizona. So I love them for that because they're out of, you know, they're not in the center. But they're the ones who exposed me to Rita Indiana, to Javier Amena, to Balloon, to so many bands. And shout out to all of them because they put amazing albums also this decade. But and they left and they just came back and it's called Old Fonograma. So you need to go to their blog because before Remezcla, before Me Too, before all these people, you actually had Club Fonograma that was highlighting the music of Latinx people. And when Rita Indiana came out with this album, I remember reading articles about it there and it's just fucking amazing. When I listened to this, I remember talking to you about it. I'm like, the future of music is in the Caribbean. Like, that's it. There's so many different mm-hmm. rhythms. And she does it so fucking well. I don't even want to get more into it. You just need, if you haven't listened to Rita Indiana, put your fucking life together. Because mm-hmm. it's so good. This is, and it came out in 2010. So
she's a badass.
That opened a decade for me of like new Latinx possibilities. So fucking good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, you said it. You said it. She's amazing.
I almost chose it as my number one because yeah. not only I listen to it a lot, but I never opened myself to, como dice mi amiga Yaremi, ritmos guapachosos. Like cumbia and stuff like that. Like I was always like very like indie rock or rock en español. And listening to El Juidero like really helped me appreciate Caribbean music and listen to like quote unquote folk music, you know what I mean? Because the way that you can the things that you can do with Caribbean music, we are seeing it today. They're fucking endless. So this explosion of reggaeton and this Caribbean this love for Caribbean music, she was the first one. I mean, not the first one, but for this decade, she just shifted all for at least for me, you know?
Mm. Yeah, totally. And speaking of people that have shifted a decade, we gotta do it. We gotta talk about the Queen Bee.
We have to.
Beyonce Knowles. Okay, I don't know if you're gonna. I don't know what you're gonna think about this statement.
Déjame saco las palomitas del microondas.
Okay.
Don't be afraid, fool. You're not the first one to.
The beehive is gonna be ready to sting me, but I don't give a fuck. The pick that I brought for Beyonce album of the decade is not self-titled, not Lemonade. It's Four. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think the impact that Lemonade had, yes.
Culturally amazing. Speaking, yes.
The impact that self-titled Beyonce had,
insane.
Wow. Wow. Right? Like she wanted to tell you who she was. She was defining herself with that album. But the album that made me a Beyonce fan was Four. And that came out in 2011, so early
to that.
The early 2010s. How are you going to say
so
it?
Weird.
I don't know. Early teens? Nope.
Because
no, it's not a teen.
No, se oye raro,
it's
wey.
Not a teen. Okay, anyway.
We'll let time decide.
There's so when I was looking at all of the songs on this album, there's a lot of songs on Four that I associate with really amazing memories.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go through a couple songs and we can just do a little bit of, we can talk about them. So
go for it.
Okay. I'm also going to say this. I do not, you know, one of the songs is I Care. I don't care. I'm so sorry. I, like the Beyonce ballads, to the left, to the left. Okay, they're not for me.
Hay algunas.
Halo. You know, I don't like sad songs and waltzes. So
Halo,
like,
is a bop.
Unless it's from what?
It's a good
Get
song.
Get the fuck out of the studio right now, Granny. Halo is a bop. Get out of here.
It's so good.
Halo is the worst song.
It's beautiful.
Oh my God.
I love it.
It was written for Kelly Clarkson. Okay.
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson. So, I'm just going to go down my favorite songs. Of course, they're the all upbeat ones. Party. I love Party. It reminds me of being in Arkansas, which is funny, with my best friends, just hanging out. And we just had it on blast because we couldn't find any people of color on the radio.
Wow.
Like, there was, so we had one Beyonce CD, and it was this one in our rental car.
Right.
We fucking blasted this song when we were driving around Northwest Arkansas. That's crazy. But anyway, the song was partly written by Kanye West. So this is when Kanye West was still
a respectable human being.
Mm-hmm. But I love that song. It's really fun. Andre 3000 is on it. Yeah. He is awesome. I love him.
I don't know.
And Love on Top. Hello, Iconic.
Yes.
That is a fucking iconic
that
song.
That is iconic song.
Love on Top. Okay, listen. And one of the reasons I'm obsessed with this song is because it's hard to sing. But the video, the choreography for it. And remember she did Love on Top when she said she revealed that she was pregnant.
Right.
With Blue Ivy. Like, historic song. Okay. And
Biblical.
I just love it so much. Love on Top is amazing. Also, if you do some Googling, there's this Asian boy.
I've seen it. Yes.
I forgot his name, but you Google it, Locas. He does Love on Top and Countdown, which is the next song that I want to talk about.
Countdown is my favorite.
Scene by scene, he recreates the music video.
And con blankets.
I'm wearing a Snuggie, bitch.
Right?
What a smart kid, though.
Yeah.
Because the original Snuggie is blue.
Uh-huh.
So he just used like blue screen, green screen technology to change the color of his outfit.
So good.
So smart. If you, Pablito, put the link in the notes.
Yeah, I will put it out.
We got to show the people the way. Also, Countdown, that music video was a complete ripoff of another artist. So Beyonce, that's when people started watching her with that one. And, okay, I'm not there yet. Put a pin in that. End of Time, that's my all-time favorite song from this album.
Wow.
End of Time is so good. And she was actually a part writer on it, so, you know. And it's basically the only Beyonce song that's a Beyonce song, not like a J Balvin collab or whatever, that's kind of has a Latin beat to it. And I think that's why I like it. And then, of course, Run the World.
That's a fucking legend. It's so good.
She did this performance of Run the World that you can find on YouTube at some award show that is...
For Oprah.
For the time. No, it wasn't for Oprah, bitch. It was for the time, the technology, because she had, like, people weren't doing projection mapping or, like, interacting with the screen behind them. Uh-huh. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was, like, the beginning of her, like... Doing these massive stadium, you know, it was amazing.
But that's the thing about Four. Like, she got rid of Sasha Fierce. She got rid of her dad as a producer. She eat, pray, love around the world trying to, like, listen to music. And she got into it, and then she came back because also Beyonce is a music fan. And all the decisions of the album also, of course, go through her. So that's why I think this, you're right, like, this album is significant, because without this period before Four, we wouldn't have Beyonce's title and we wouldn't have had Lemonade. So this is the beginning of that Beyonce that most people love. Not that everybody loved, because people have been on Beyonce boat for a long, long time. But this was the shift where she just fucking became, you know, like a goddess, you know?
Okay, now I'm going to talk about Lemonade, okay?
Say it.
And when it came out, it, like, changed our lives.
It hit the spot.
It was cool.
Yeah.
And now, when I think about Lemonade, I'm like, eh. Which is wild, because you can...
Pero por qué, güey?
You could go back and listen to us go fucking wild about this song. But just to show you that it's okay if your opinion changes, and it's this fucking stan culture that we live in right now that you have to... Like, I will die on the cross for fucking Beyonce. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't doing that shit. I'm being realistic.
No more.
When was the last time you listened to Lemonade, bitch?
From beginning to end, it's been a couple years at least.
Is it that good of an album?
I think it's a good album, but it's not.
When's the last time you listened to Seat at the Table?
Oh, like a couple, like a month ago or something.
Okay.
Caso cerrado.
Yes. Corra videotape.
So, I mean, and same with self-titled. I think I listen more to individual songs from self-titled than individual songs from Lemonade.
Right.
But I remember self-titled for me making more of an impact because I'm like, what? Beyonce's cussing?
Right.
You know, and then every song had a visual. But then again, my nerd, like art self, that visual album that Beyonce came out with Lemonade and when, how she dropped it like that, that was, yeah.
Oof. That was a moment.
That was badass.
She owned the fucking decade. She owned the decade.
And she's still owning it. She just came out with Ivy Park, Adidas collab. Oh my God, that ass. Oh, Beyonce.
¿Qué estás haciendo?
Jesus.
But I don't know. I recognize Lemonade for its cultural, because it was a cultural phenomenon. And it didn't allow us to see a lot of the problems behind that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I started to see more and more people being critical of Beyonce, which is a good thing. But you're absolutely right when it comes to the quality of the music, but like musically speaking, four is everything. And if four is on top of those two albums, like hands down, I still think Lemonade has some amazing ass fucking music.
Honestly?
Hasta la de Country, güey. ¿Te acuerdas que ni me gustaba? Like, I fucking love that song. But you know what I mean.
That was badass, but like, and then she did it with the Dixie Chicks. I was like, fuck you, to the Country Music Awards.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That was badass.
Yeah.
But it was also a song about gun violence. So let's get into it. That was a little insensitive with the times.
True.
But you know, when you're in a bubble like you, you don't know. I mean, like, you don't know what's happening.
I have no idea.
Can you imagine what Beyonce don't? You think Beyonce's watching James Mansfield videos on YouTube every night before they go to bed? No. Shout out to James Mansfield. I love you. I'm obsessed with his wig tutorials. I cannot stop watching them.
That's beautiful.
They're so fucking good. I love, what are James Mansfield fans called? Shapeshifters, maybe? I'm a shapeshifter.
Okay.
I'm part of the shapeshifter tribe. Actually, retract that. I hate when people say tribe. Like,
pues no, it's super problematic.
It's so problematic. Pues and also,
when people are like, let's powwow. Like, that's
powwow. Or people are like, I'm the whatever guru. I'm like, you're not a fucking guru. You know what that word means? No.
Exactly.
Okay. Anyway, but I just said it because I'm, you know, my whiteness is jumping out. Okay.
Speaking of whiteness.
Yes, let's get into it.
So I'm not going to get too much into this because really, I chose it because I listened to it so long. And for so long, and it was an album that I actually sit down and read the lyrics as I was listening to the album, and it became a whole thing, and I appreciated it, and it was very symbolic for me at the time. That's why I chose it, but I mean, we can skip it if you want to. This came out in 2015. This is I Love You, Honey Bear from Father John Misty. He's an asshole. His stage performer has gone from like this cool hippie kid to this like entitled white man. I don't respect him for that.
And then why did you pick him? This always blows my mind.
But this album, for me, this is about a fucked up relationship and why it's so fucked up.
And relatable content, people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So from song one to the last song is how this fucked up relationship somehow has worked as a sign of how fucked up the political times are. So it reads like a novel. So you read from song one to the last song and you're like, oh my God, these people are fucking horrible. So at the time when it came out, it was like, again, it hit me in the face. And I found myself knowing all of the lyrics of the whole album within a month because I was obsessed with the story that he was telling. This is a good narrative. This is a good story. Is it going to hold down like other albums that we have talked to? It probably is not. Is his Father John Misty an asshole? He is a fucking asshole. But is what I was listening to, and I had to choose it. I almost admitted it, but I was like, I will be untrue to myself by avoiding this album. When, like, even Spotify is like, you listen to Father John Misty like a billion fucking times this decade. I'm like, okay, I have to recognize it. But,
yeah.
But it's a good album.
All I know, this is what I know of Father John Misty, is that, so I listen to Spotify a lot, actually. You know what? Shout out to everybody on Spotify who follows my playlist. I didn't know that you could see if people follow your playlist or not. And I saw my because I just updated all of the Radio Loncha episode playlist. So if you want, you can go on Spotify. And it's my government name on Spotify, Justin Favela. Mm-hmm. But if you just search Radio Lonchea, I have every year like a playlist with all the songs we reference in the episodes.
Yeah.
And so I see who follows those, and then I follow them. Mm-hmm. And then I've started following their playlists.
And there's
like a lot
shit.
Of like hot gay dudes, you know? And it's like, it's really funny. Like, it's a type of gay guy. It's like hot. Or like Spanish with like bushy eyebrows, you know what I mean? And then like, and then and they usually have like, you know, a play. They have all these different playlists, and you and John Misty, Father John Misty, is always on there. But it's like every time I hear it, I'm like, what is this? Is it good? I don't. And then I like look to see it, and the song's almost over. Like it's one of those people that you're like, it's tolerable to me. It's like. It's good because
he's a good musician.
Because I don't notice it.
Right.
Because you only notice music when it's bad.
Right.
Like, ugh, change this. It's bad.
Or when it's really good, when you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so it's like passable.
Right.
You know, it's like, what is this? The gays love Father John Misty.
There's a song called Born in the USA that fucking is just like, if you hate the United States, please listen to that song because you will hate it even more. Like, he lays it down on how fucked up we are when it comes to capitalism, when it comes about fucking all the medicines that we're taking. Like, it's so, so good. But again, I don't know if it will stand the, ¿cómo se dice?
The test of time.
The test of time. But
probably
that's
not.
That's
already,
what
I'm
I was
over it.
But that's what I was listening to.
No, it's true.
And there it is.
And I think that's what I did too. I went back to my Spotify, and it's really great. You know, this is like a commercial for them. Hey, if anybody at Spotify is listening to us, we would love to like officially be part of Spotify, because
right.
I know that like there's certain artists that will make playlists. Like, it would be really great if we collaborated and made like official Spotify playlists as Latinos Who Lunch. If anybody from Spotify is listening. Or know somebody from Spotify, we want to do that. We want to make playlists. I don't even care if it's for Latinx Heritage Month. We'll do it. You
okay.
know? Wouldn't it be cool?
Les ponemos Alejandro Fernandez.
Because,
si
bitch, honestly, Spotify, you got to step your pussies up. Like, those Latinx playlists you have, they're not that great. Like, they need to be a little bit more curated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think we're the people to do that. So call us. And by call us, I mean email latinoswithlunch@gmail.com and talk to our producer, Maite Sosa. Thank you so much. Okay. So one of the albums that was on repeat on my Spotify, because there's this playlist that it makes a playlist for you based on songs that you've repeated over and over again. And I went and looked at my old ones, and Janelle Monáe is on there. I fucking love Janelle Monáe.
Electric Lady.
Yes, the Electric Lady album that came out in
2013.
Thank you so much. Yes, 2013. Okay, so
that album
have my
live.
Thoughts.
Go for it.
No, go ahead. You were gonna say something.
No. I'm just like, I remember seeing her in Life Is Beautiful.
I was
and
there with
nobody,
you. Right?
No. We didn't know each other. Nobody was there. There was like.
I was at that show, yeah.
That was like maybe 50 people in that set. And she had a whole entire black and white set. This was before she was part of the fucking Empire.
She came out.
She's amazing.
She was part of the Empire then, girl. Stop fucking.
No, because I remember this kid, this the people from Of Montreal. That's when I saw her first. She was touring with Of Montreal.
I see what
she
you
was
mean.
Just like an indie girl. Anyway, go ahead.
So yeah, she came out. Everybody was wearing white on that set. Do you remember
right.
that?
Yeah.
That's a fucking artist, bitch.
Yes.
And she came out in a straight jacket. And they wheeled her out on a dolly like she was crazy. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then they freed her from the straight jacket. And then she started like dancing like James Brown. It was so good.
Cuando traía el pelo así.
Yes, the pompadour.
Yes.
And then she had all of her backup dancers. It was so badass. It was all... It had like Austin Powers kind of vibe, but like,
but minimalist, like good.
It was interesting. It was like 1920s Austin Powers.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Oh, so good. Okay. So Electric Lady is part of a series of albums that she came out with. I think it was like a series of three. And they're based on Metropolis, that like 1920s movie. So that's kind of like the aesthetic she was going for.
Oh, that's badass.
So it's like the Arc Android, Electric Lady. Oh, shit, I forgot that. Whatever.
That makes so much sense now.
Yes, because that was the aesthetic and the vibe that she was going for.
That's cool.
And so each album is its own piece, but they're kind of they're related to each other. So in the album, she plays Cindy Mayweather, which is like an arc android. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It's a really fun narrative, and there's a lot of interludes within Electric Lady. And from the jump, there's an orchestral suite that starts the mood for this. This sets the tone, I should say,
right,
for this album, which is like, as soon as I heard that orchestra swell up, I was like, this is my shit. And they go immediately into a song featuring Prince. Like, hello. And so they had me. And then the next song, Queen, Q period U period E period E period N period. It's that song Queen featuring Erykah Badu, and Solange is in it too. Okay,
see, that's what it is a really good album. I just remember seeing her in one of the late night TV shows dancing, and I'm like, who the fuck is this lady? And then she came to Albuquerque like within a week or two after I saw that performance, and she opened for Of Montreal. Man, life has changed. And She was a force. I would never thought that she was gonna become this big Hollywood star. Not because I wouldn't give it credit, because to me she was like this indie, on the road, badass chick, you know? And I mean, she's living her best life, so good for her.
Yeah, and I think, I love those first three songs that like, and then, oh no, I fucked up. Solange is on the next song. Solange is on Electric Lady. Mm. I take it back, y'all. So many corrections here, but whatever. Okay, so it's... Track 2 is a song with Prince. Track 3 is a song with Erykah Badu. Track 4 is Electric Lady featuring Solange. There's an interlude, and then track 6 is Prime Time featuring Miguel. Like, come on.
Everybody that was,
on. And then, the album is split up. This is my shit right here. The album is split up into two suites, suite 4 and suite 5. So it lets you know that it's a continuation of another album.
Nice.
And, Janelle Monáe can sing. There's a song, the Look Into My Eyes song, track 10. The way that she sings on that song is so beautiful. She can really... sing.
She's a renaissance lady. She can do everything.
The song dedicated to her mom, Ghetto Woman. Like, it's so beautiful. And actually, I've talked about this before. I don't know if on this show or wherever, but like, she inspired me to like have a uniform, because she always wears her black and
whites.
That's
right.
And that's in honor of her mom, who's a janitor, or who was a janitor for many, many years. And so she decided, okay, this is my job. I'm going to wear a uniform. And so that's when she started wearing black and white, like to pay homage to all the sacrifices that her mom had to make
for her
to be an artist.
Right.
You know, so it's like, my mom's uniform is like gray and purple. Maybe I should do that. No, I'm sticking to red and black. That's the red. I mean, whatever the fuck I have going on. But you know what? This outfit is great and all, but in the summer it sucks. So I think I'm going to have a summer look. Like, that's like inverted.
Suck.
Like all white with a black skeleton and then a green accessory.
Oh,
like opposite.
Nice.
Right?
You should try it.
I'm doing it, bitch. I don't try nothing. I just do it.
So again, Janelle Monáe, Electric Lady, 2013. My number 2, which was almost my number 1. But again, I will...
And Dirty Computer. Dirty Computer just came out. But I didn't like it. Her album. I didn't like it as much as this. Sorry to interrupt you.
This number 2. This was a shit. Okay. It's Blonded by Frank Ocean, 2016.
Blonde. It's just blonde.
Blonde. I don't know.
It's not blonde.
Blonde. Oh, that's
just
right.
Just say it over again. That's embarrassing.
Fucking live it. It's Blonde from 2016, and it's my top... Dude, I listened to the first album by Frank Ocean, right? And it was good. Everybody was like going nuts. Like, oh my God, Channel Orange is the best thing, 2012. I liked it. And it was the first album, but then my little sister Bianca, shout out to Bianca and myself, were obsessed with. And this was a way for us to connect. So I remember when I was so into Channel Orange, I remember calling Bianca. I said, no matter what happens, you and I are going to go see... we're going to go see Frank Ocean, because he never fucking performs. And he was announced to be in FYF, and then we went to the show, and then he canceled, and then they had Kanye West instead. Big mistake. Oh, well. And then 2 years later, they actually brought Frank Ocean. That, being with my little sister, both of us, like, I'm like fucking 40, with all these teenagers, all of us crying at the same time. People were so fucking quiet. You never hear this silence in a music festival. And that fucking set just like shook me. And what I realized is that before the album came out, he did a lot of carpentering in like YouTube videos and stuff. And people were like, what the fuck is he doing? He's quote unquote building his album. Everything that he built in those videos, he included it in his set.
Oh,
in the cool. live set. And then he had a director, Spike Lee. I think he was recording the whole entire set. Fucking Brad Pitt showed up in one of the songs, and then some of the songs had lyrics. It was like a religious experience. To this day, one of the best live shows I've seen in my life. From the opening, from Nike's, all the way to the last song, I remember a lot of people gave a lot of shit because all the songs shift really fast. Kind of like Try a Walk, but they're all part of one song. And some of them are super mellow. I remember when it came out, people are like, this is so fucking boring. We waited all this time for this album. But this is going to stand the test of time. This, I've seen so many lists that are putting their top albums of the decade. And this is number one in like so many fucking lists. And I'm not going to lie. I was like, do I need to like this? Because the first time it caught me off surprise because some of the songs were difficult to listen to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it took maybe a couple of weeks, and I remember listening to it when Juanga died, and that was, I remember just like it was a moment. It was
rest
like
rest in power, my queen.
Rest in power, like being like with that nostalgia of being in Juarez, writing my dissertation, listening to Frank Ocean was like I had no idea what was to come. And it was just like, I could feel a shift. I could feel the fucking, my life was completely changing and I had no idea. So everything, I can't listen to it no more. Like it affect me that much. I listen to some songs so they come out in my playlist and I like it. But from beginning to end, I can't anymore because it was such a fucking powerful moment in my life. And it is a hell of a fucking album. He had Beyonce in one of the songs, like just in the background. That's how badass it is. So again, Blonde 2016, it's still one of my favorite albums of all time. So, so, so amazing.
Yeah. I love some of his songs.
It's a difficult album.
It's not difficult for me, bitch. Okay,
I'm just saying in general.
I'm just kidding.
It's not an easy album.
No, this is what I want to say about that, is that we're living in a time now where not every song on an album has to be a hit anymore.
Right.
There's so much content out there that you can make an album that is, as the children say, right, a mood. And this album was that, I think. It's like, if you need an album like that for whatever reason, I don't know what do you think that album was for you to heal or to zone out or to what do you feel
album
did for you?
It was to zone out,
right?
Yeah.
And I feel like, for example, it's not, this is not to zone out, but like Rihanna's Anti,
mm-hmm,
like, oof, that album for me was like, not everything was a bop, you know, but it was like, oh,
it,
man,
was a mood. I get it.
I love this, yes, album. You know what I mean? Yes, that, yes, was one of the best albums of the decade,
yeah,
too. You know what I mean? So, and like, shout out to Lizzo, too. Like, Lizzo's impact was incredible. But I unfortunately played her out this past year.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between like Frank Ocean, Anti, you know, some might even say Lemonade, right? Like,
right.
Like Lizzo came with the hits. Every song was like ba 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 ba. Even her ballads are like,
yeah,
you know, very powerful. But sometimes you don't want. Sometimes you want that, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes,
and I don't think Blonde had a hit.
I don't know, maybe not a commercial or like a whatever,
right,
you know, top Billboard whatever. But that doesn't matter anymore. Like, artists are making money touring, and if you have your group of people that, your groupies that go to every, you know, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. And sometimes they cross over into the mainstream, like Solange sometimes, or you know, all these other soft artists. You know, artists that just have a softer hand, I will say. And so there's something about Frank Ocean that...
No te cae.
No me cae.
I get it.
But I do like him. But I haven't pinpointed what it is yet. He's also done some shit lately that I don't agree
Yeah,
with.
I'm not down with him right now. But at the time, that album...
I can't wait to see what he comes up with next. I'm keeping an eye on you.
He was a recluse. I don't remember, like, he wasn't on the eye. So, and then he was gay without having to say he was gay. He was just doing his shit. He's queered.
Thank you.
I appreciated that there were songs about love. There were songs about all this shit that didn't have labels. And people respected him, as even when he came out from a crew of musicians that are like, men, dick. You know what I mean? Mm. So, like, stupid. But I respected that. He's shifting. And I am curious. Not excited, but I'm curious to see what he comes up with. Because I feel like he's about to shift into a direction that I might not like anymore. But... Blonde will always and forever be one of my favorite albums of all time. So, what is your number one?
All right, get ready. My number one album for the decade is, of course, K Tronada's 99.9%.
Oof.
I love that album, and y'all know it. I still listen to that album. How many years ago? Did we do that fucking original? Was that the original Radio Loncha episode?
2016, yes.
Oh my gosh, 2016, right? And then, I mean, it took him a few years to record it. And after it came out, I mean, if y'all don't know who K Tronada is, he's Canadian. And I don't know, because there's this like thing about Canadians, like they can do no wrong. But I'm like, there's a lot of white people out there. There's gotta be fucked up shit happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like.
They love their fucking British queen. They have a lot of colonial pedos, and people don't see that shit.
French. Well, he's from like the French part, I think. I have a feeling he's from the French part. And so, yeah, I talked about him last episode because he was one of my picks for top songs of 2019. Him and Caliucci's, yeah. But this song, I love the collaborations. And again, he's more of a producer, right?
It's a hell of a producer.
Amazing. And I mean, just this album, Anderson .Paak is on it. Little Dragon, who's like one of my all-time favorite bands.
Yeah.
And I mean, Aluna George, right? Mm. Like, hello. Amazing. And that's actually how I found out about Gal Costa, who's like an old school... Like from the '60s, '70s Brazilian artist.
Oh, that's so
fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like I went into a deep dive of like
psychedelic all of Brazilian
Gal Costa's work.
Yeah.
There's this one song that starts really sweet. It's called "Mi Nome Es Gal," so it's just saying "My name is Gal." Mm-hmm. So "Mi Nome Es Gal," and it's just like very da 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 da, and it's just like very nice. And by the end of the song, she's like "Mi Nome Es Gal." She's just like yelling, like pissed off.
I love it. 1960s and 70s Brazilian music is fucking amazing. Yeah. There's so much.
And so I discovered this is what I liked about this album is not only was it from top to bottom. To me, I thought it was, oh my God, that's a great name for Justin Favela's biography, From Top to Bottom. So From Top to Bottom, it was like the best, I feel like the best representation of what I'm talking about when it comes to like an album being like one unit. Like some of the songs are so different, but the way that they're, the order that they're in, and some of them actually play off of each other, you know, I love when that happens. An album, so yes, you and I never just listen to one of the tracks. I always start
that's what
track
you know,
one
a good album, bitch.
I always start track one, and then if I stop, I will start it where it ended. Like I love to listen to the whole thing all the way through. So this is like my jam in the studio. A lot of these, most of these songs are upbeat, so it's like if the studio is dragging, if I have a lot of people and I need to get some music to get people going, I put this album on, and everybody's like. I love this. What is this? What playlist is this?
Yeah, he's...
They don't know that it's one album. And I'm like, this is one album.
He's not... He should be much bigger than... I mean, he's gotten a lot of attention. And like critics fucking love him, but he should be much, much bigger. He should be like in every club. I remember I saw him in Life is Beautiful with Crystal. Shout out to Crystal. And it was amazing. It was a DJ set and I was a little confused because I was expecting something else, but I forget that he's a producer and it's
maybe
it's
he's not
amazing.
Into performing. And that's so the good. Thing is like the way that the music biz is set up here is like you have to be an entity, like a brand.
Right.
And you have to be, and since he's not the singer, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things and he's not really a DJ, so he's not like Diplo or like whatever other mediocre. No, I'm not. Some of them are actually good. Shout out to Skrillex. But
which we dance on stage with too.
He did not deny it. He was really nice. And I almost stole. Did you see how they just left his equipment there?
Makila
like,
went under your legs on top of the stage
in
with
front
Skrillex.
Of, right in front of him. Yeah, that was really funny. But. I was almost gonna steal his mixer because they just left it there.
I remember
because
yeah.
He like DJ'd the pool party. That was a fucking weird festival.
That was weird.
He DJ'd a pool party and they just left his equipment sitting there for like 2 days. And I was gonna take it, but then as soon as you bring something to somebody's attention, they're like, oh no, it's mine.
Yeah, right.
I knew that was gonna happen. Then I would feel too guilty stealing Skrillex's mixer, so. I didn't do it, but what a story that would have been.
That would have been.
Oh, anyway, why are we talking about him and his fucking... He reminds me of... You know who he reminds me of? Is like Christian Siriano. first season of Project Runway.
Right,
they
right,
are
right.
The same person, right?
Right?
Imagine just him with longer hair. Okay, and so this album, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. It's so great. I mean, you just got to listen to it.
I don't have to.
But like I said, each, you know, the songs you can tell are Catronata songs, but they're also very different in their own right. And so I think that's what I really, really love about this song. And yeah, I think I can't choose a favorite song. I like a lot of them. So that's really, I think, a true sign of a great album. Okay, that's it. Oh, wait, you have your favorite.
I have my favorite one.
Dale.
So as you all know, I've had different stages of my music experience, like I've always loved live music. In the 1990s I was rock en español, puro rock en español, puro rock en español.
Me vale, vale, vale.
No, menos maná,
me vale
wey.
Todo.
Prefiero que me saquen una muela sin fucking.
Okay, why don't you like maná, rock en español?
Porque son pendejos, güey. It's gross. I don't like it. It's stupid. Con el cucú, papá se fue. Fuck that shit. Anyway.
People love Maná, dude.
I know.
It's
you know, sé qué les pasa, güey. All of my family and the hatred against Maná started with my dad. we all hate it. But anyway. So, and we can talk more about my Maná later.
No. Let's keep it positive.
So, that was the 90s. And then in the early 2000s, I went to go see the White Stripes. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I remember going to Virgin Records.
I used to love them.
Oh, I still.
They were my shit.
Oh, so good.
Elephant?
Mm-hmm.
Or Elefunk? What was it? Elephant. Elefunk is also a formative album from right. The fucking Black Eyed Peas. No, this was
People
Elephant.
In the club. If you want to get down.
Okay.
Elephant. Yes.
Sorry.
So I went to see that. I went to the White Stripes, the Hard Rock.
Album. Sorry.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I remember going to the Virgin Records, buying Enemy magazine, and just like going to the store and buying all of the albums that were in that magazine because I had no idea what the fuck was indie music. And I just went from 2004, when I was my first Coachella, all the way to 2015 before I met you. It was just like indie. And my favorite band from that period, and it's still my second favorite band of all time because my favorite band is Café Tacuba, is Beach House. And Beach House is an amazing band from Baltimore. And they...
Why be more? Oh, wait, sorry. I always fuck that up. Why be less when you can be more?
The first album they came out with was in 2006. This shit is not for everybody. It's very sad, why people music. But there's something to it that I have loved. Since Devotion came out in 2008, I have been fucking obsessed. I have not cried so much with a band as much as
here
I
here you
have
go. This is what I want to hear.
With Beach House.
Keep
I'm
going
to tell you why Bloom
tell
was.
Me why.
When I was doing research.
Why. Oh my God. I got to tell you about Okay.
Let me finish, puto.
Sorry.
So when I was writing my dissertation, I wanted to do research. So I went to Mexico. I traveled for a month and a half by myself. And that's all I was listening to. Bloom, 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 Bloom. That's the name of the album, Bloom. Came out in 2012.
Thank you so much.
Bloom, Bloom, Bloom. And every song resonated. Myth is a fucking iconic song for me, and Troublemaker as well. But every song just got me. And they performed in LA in the eve of my 30th birthday. So they were my last concert of my 20s and my first concert of my 30s. And I remember I drove to LA. I went to go have Korean food. I went to go see Beach House, and then drove back for hours back to Vegas. And that was also huge for me. Wow. I fucking cried the whole entire fucking show. It's still one of my favorite albums of all time. Again, I still cannot listen to it from beginning to end, because it's like, that's how much I'm getting to music. Music is like, it's like me teaching. It's like two of the most powerful fucking things, you know? And I, again, Spotify reminded me that was the album that I listened to the most in the last decade. And I was like, yep, no question. Like, they're one of my favorite bands, and it's one of my top favorite albums of all time. I'm not even gonna choose a song. Like, it's just sad music, but it's so good. It's so good. Like, it's just so good. And everything they come out with, I like, but nothing like Bloom for me. And even though there's other albums that are more critically acceptable or whatever, to me, it was this one.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, we all have those albums.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're giving them a voice on this podcast and more traction, because they need it. But yeah, you know, we all have those albums, I think. Like, when I look at my installations, the first thing I think about is, like, what I was listening to.
What you were listening to. Oh, that's cool.
Like, the Amon Carter Museum in Fort Worth, all I can think about is ghost stories. Like, when I see it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dolly Parton.
No, I did that months ago. Dolly Parton's recent.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we should give shout outs to albums that we didn't talk about that are still amazing. So
yes.
I already talked about Lizzo, duh, obviously, hello. And then we gave, you know, Beyonce all the shout outs and beyond to Beyonce and beyond. And so
Balloon, Prisma Tropical.
Balloon, hello, Mula, we love Mula.
Mula, what the fuck?
Oh my gosh. I love that album. Mariah Carey, that new album that came out. No. Oh, she's so amazing.
You love her.
I am a fucking. I never thought I would be a lamb, but I think I am.
Wow.
I think I kind of am. Anything that she does, I'm like, what a fucking icon. I love her.
That's crazy.
She better not do anything stupid. Ugh. Anyway, I love Anti, as I mentioned.
Anti was...
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just such a great... We talked about Helado Negro's album.
To me, my...
All of his albums. Cuco.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about the Latinx artists. Hello, Latinos Who Lunch. Let's get into that.
There's so many.
Get into it.
There's so many that... I mean, I don't even remember it. And it really is. And this is also a reminder of going back to Radio Menea, going back to all of those amazing music-based Latinx podcasts, because they're the ones that are putting all of this information out there.
Yo, for
and getting
real.
Into it. Song Mess, I was talking to Pat about it, and Song Mess is constructing, Richard is constructing this vault of Latinoamericano.
An archive. An oral history.
Like, in 40 years, somebody's going to come back to Song Mess and going to be like, what the fuck was happening? It's amazing.
The work that Richard and Bev and Vero and Perez are doing is really important.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
I've discovered so many amazing Latinx artists through their podcast, and you can actually stalk them on the internet too. If you go onto Spotify, they have playlists. I listen to Vero's playlist, Perez's playlist, Song Mess's playlist all the time. So check them out.
Balloon, check them out. Alex Anwanter, he's a problematic ass now, but he came out with really good music. We talked about Kali Uchis.
Yeah, Alex, Isolation.
Right.
Oof. Mm-hmm.
Alex Ferreira was also one of my favorites. Los Walters. Fuck, I love Los Walters. I couldn't include it in this list.
Cálmate.
Denver, which was my introduction to Chilean pop, because Chilean pop for me rule the 2010s.
Yes.
Well, let's go with that.
Javier Amena,
Odiseo, Lido Pimienta, man. Like, there's so many. El Guincho, which nobody paid attention to until he started doing shit with Rosalia.
Fuck, that could have been one of my top albums.
El Guincho. El Guincho is amazing.
That Pop Negro album?
Yes.
Wait, did that come out in... That probably came out in 2008.
Ahorita te digo.
I think it came out in 2008.
No, 2010.
Yes! See, that would have been a good... That's a... Oh.
Too bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad we didn't have more to pick from.
Yeah.
Oof. That's up there.
And before...
Miguel. Yeah. Who else? And yes, I said it with a Spanish accent because he is Mexican and African-American. Okay.
Hello.
And then, gosh, I just want to give all the bands a shout out. And
Go for it. Yeah. Also, Sancha came out with amazing music. And the new album.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I wanted to make... she was on our show. What an honor.
Right. I wanted to do that, my recommendation for today. But let's just talk about it. La Luz de la Esperanza, this fucking telenovela.
Yes.
Girl, you made it. It's amazing. People are finally paying attention to you all over the fucking world. And it's beautiful to see. Muchas fucking felicidades. If you haven't listened to it, listen to La Luz de la Esperanza by Sancha. That shit is amazing.
Support Latinx artists, people. Yes. Okay. Yes. I bought all the Sancha shirts immediately when they came out.
So beautiful.
They're so good.
So beautiful.
They're amazing. And yeah, I mean, we could just keep listing albums. Like, there's so many. I mean, Bad Bunny. Hello.
I never got into it.
That last album that he came out with?
I know that's amazing.
The songs
I've listened to it, I'm like, what is this? Like, it's so fucking good.
So good.
But yeah, I need to really listen to Cardi.
You know,
Cardi
I gotta give her credit.
But yeah.
But she's amazing.
I saw her singing Burrito Sabanero in the video.
I love watching her lives whenever she goes online. Yeah. She don't give a fuck.
It's so funny.
Oh, my gosh. And their kid is so cute. The future is bright, baby. The future is bright. Okay. And so many amazing artists. And if we missed anybody, and we met so many amazing bands.
Right.
Through this podcast.
Right.
Fea. Remember?
Oh, my God. Fea. I fucking interviewed them in a van. Like, that was
Fea.
Oh, my God.
Downtown Boys.
Downtown
That interview never came out. It might come out as a bonus episode.
Right.
We talked to, ¿cómo se llama? La de New Orleans. And she's always really sad, and she's singing about ghosts. What's her name? Hooray for the Riff Raff. Remember?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Another person we went on stage with.
Did we?
Yes.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
I didn't.
There was nobody there because it was a whack-ass fucking festival. And then
Thank you for paying us, and we sponsored them.
No, it was great, but it was weird. And at the end, like, I remember she was dancing, and I think I went on stage first. I was like, fuck it. Like,
I didn't
people need to give her love because she was so amazing. And then everybody just started dancing with us.
Aww.
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, I mean... And just the people that we've met over the... I mean, we're friends with Balloon. That's crazy.
Oh, Shout out. Todavía no me la creo, wey.
Shout out.
Every time I get a text from Angelica, me pellizco.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
It's like being starstruck by your friends.
It's
That's so,
so
funny.
Anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, I got to meet some bands this year. Like, shout out to Biri Biri Banda. I got to meet them and Neon Indian. I got to meet Neon. You didn't go to the after party at Lalif. I got to hang out with Neon Indian and this band that was really cool. Something Color.
Sin Color.
I hung out with them.
My husband and I love them.
They
from
were
LA.
So good. Shout out to Sin Color.
They're amazing.
Look them up.
I had no idea they were going to be there.
Yeah. Y'all fucked up. It was so fun. There's just so many great artists out there. And you guys just dig around. It's SoundCloud is there for free. Ask your friends what they're listening to. Listen to all these Latinx music podcasts because I know there's more. And if there is more, let us know. I'm sure Babalita would love to listen to them.
Yes.
I'm already Songmas and Radio Menean de Colores is enough for me. But because I will say De Colores comes through with their recs.
Yeah.
With music. Like they also know. So shout out to Rafa, Pat, and Eva because they're always giving me really good recs on the Coco. Okay, let's wrap this shit up.
Let's do it. So I don't think we need recommendations because we, you know, listen to El Sancha and there's so many music that we recommended here. But yes, like it's just, it was amazing. That amazing, amazing decade. I don't even know like what's gonna happen next with when it comes to music, my music listening, because it feels like I'm backing up. But I don't know. I want that's one of my resolutions, bitch, to listen to more music, because last year I was so busy with school that I forgot to listen to more stuff. So that's yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you're passionate about. I just think it's weird that you're not musical. Like, you can't sing.
Porque tengo,
and you don't play an instrument.
Porque tengo dos patas izquierdas y dos manos izquierdas. So, like, I cannot coordinate.
Never been introducing, like writing music or producing it or like, producing a show.
I make up my own songs all the time, but
That's my capitalist self, maybe. Like, you love something so much, why don't you make money off of it?
I wanted to do music journalism. And see, that's just something like, that I will do in the side.
I think you would be really good at that.
I will love to do that.
I think that should be one of your resolutions.
Write
one piece. Get one piece published in like a local magazine.
Oh, fuck. Try it. Love that. I will love that.
Do it. See, that's something that's going to push you.
Okay.
What kind of fucking I'm going to listen to more music. What kind of resolution is that? Get your head out of your ass, dude.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Let's end this shit.
Yes.
Okay. And to do it, we want to... again, give you all a big, big thank you and give our listeners a big, big shout out. And that's what we are about to do. Shout out to all of our Patreon and PayPal donors for this month. David L., you the best, comadre.
Andrea Q., we know you, girl.
Andrea! I love her so much.
I love her, too.
Oh, my gosh. And she's been a comadre, and now she's officially a comadre. Okay.
Thank you, Andrea.
Oh, my
big
gosh. Next time
you.
I'm in New Mexico, I'll call you. Grecia, come on. You don't have to do that. Thank you so much, comadre. And, oh, my gosh.
Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. Thank you so much for joining the Latinos Who Lunch fam. I don't even know. We're still figuring it out.
We'll figure it out. It'll be good.
But thank you to everybody that helps us. And if you want to help us, and we get it, some of us don't have the budget to be given podcast money, that's fine. Please share this podcast with a friend. Let them know you're listening. Rate us, review us, 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. A production assistance from Maite Sosa. Music by the band Brownout. I'm Fabi Fab.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao.